traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
When you go on holiday, there is no finer achievement than doing absolutely nothing. Nothing on the beach, nothing by the pool. Walking kind of nowhere and chatting about nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight. So you can have a bit more money to go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing. Expedia, made to travel.
You beat Anderson Silva, one of the greatest combat sports fighters of all time.
You see what happens when I land those punches with everyone else. And I seen his eyes roll back in his head. And this just kept on coming.
KSI, are you guys really friends or is it just for money?
Have you ever given him a reach around?
What the kind of?
Drake Prime.
These are the color line glasses. Yeah.
You better cry.
Sugar Sean is looking way more perfect than usual.
You're not beating Ryan Garcia.
So you think there's a 0% chance I could beat him?
Yeah.
No, come on, Raheem.
You know what I like? When my best friend, whose brother just won the biggest fight of his career, comes out. This kid goes home last night at, 2 a.m., goes to bed, doesn't even make it to the after party.
Yeah, that's like unlike you, to be honest. I was a little bit disappointed. I was like, damn, I want to party with my brother. He's like, oh, I'm going to sleep.
It's because he's in a relationship
it
now.
It takes a lot to make this work, okay? It's the number one podcast in the world right now, and that's not by chance, okay? Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yeah, but I did a podcast. I did a sports show like right after too.
First, he's right. No excuses. But also, what was that intro?
You want to redo that?
Yeah. I mean, just hate the intro. You've done 400 episodes, bro. You're like a little off today.
You don't want to mix it up just a little bit? No.
I kind of liked it a little bit.
Okay. Just maybe drill one home right down the pipe.
Hey, I found your mic.
Oh, nice. No, thank you, Logan. No. I thought it was good. I thought it was better than usual, if you ask me.
Perfect.
You're looking good, too, bro. You're looking leaner. You've been working out more?
Drinking all the Prime.
Drinking all the Prime. So what's going on? KSI, are you guys really friends, or is it just for money and clout?
We talking about? Yeah, yes, he's my friend and business partner.
Have you ever given him a reach around?
What the fuck kind of...
Well, are you friends or not?
Yo, fuck you, by the way.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on?
Fuck Why? Your fucking shit.
Why?
Why'd you blur my logo?
Oh, the better logo? Mm-hmm.
Fuck you.
I knew you were going to ask this.
You blurred his
logo?
Actually,
no, I didn't. I figured you'd understand. You know why I blurred it. You know damn well why I blurred it. Don't give me this.
Bro.
You know damn well why I blurred your logo on Johnny's parachute.
I don't know why.
Johnny DeJulius, who's right there, base jumped yesterday before Jake's fight. His parachute, when he opened it, has a giant better logo on it. He's a better ambassador, a better athlete. BETR, Jake's gambling app. Bro,
It's also a sports media company. So it doubles. It doubles. It's brother, not just sports betting.
I love you to death, but I'm a Barstool ambassador.
I know.
I'm a Barstool ambassador for the Barstool Sportsbook.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I didn't mean to start this.
I've been on the show for a minute.
This is why Jordan is better.
It just sucks, bro.
Jesus.
I hope, button.
No.
I hope your deal runs out soon with them. Because it's fucked up. Like, I'm using fucking Prime water bottles, my whole camp. It's all in my content. It's everywhere. I represent the fuck out of it. And then you just got to blur my logo.
That's 0% equity in that.
Yeah, company. But he's not complaining about it. He's just being supportive, brother.
And also, he's complaining.
Zero equity.
I know.
And also, like, if he drinks it, people might want to drink it. If you drink it, they're like,
why don't you get that mic? I don't think George's mic is actually working. I don't think George's mic is on.
Because I love Jesus.
I can handle it. I can do this shit.
It's because I'm a Christian.
But it does work.
Penis.
It does work. Okay, fine. I do apologize. It's just such a lucrative deal for me.
But would they make you blur it? Like,
we should ask.
It's a conflict.
Because you're right.
It's not a big deal. And also,
I know.
It's two different apps.
I know.
It's technically sports betting, but like, they don't have micro betting, which is what we're focused on.
And that's all you guys do
exactly
right now.
So
right?
look, yes. I left it in my Snapchat Because you're right, it is going to be unavoidable at some time.
Bro, like, it's inevitable. It's inevitable.
I didn't know you were going to start a fucking
war
billion-dollar betting app. I didn't know you were going to do that a year and a half ago when I signed it.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I'm here. I'm here to support you in the best way. Are you
on your fucking
Kevin, bro? Is it your first fucking day, bro?
The guy trips over everything.
Like,
thanks, Kevin. how are you feeling, brother? You had an amazing fight.
I'm good. I'm sore as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, really, really sore. I got in the ice bed this morning, stuck my face in there. My shoulders are all banged up. My face is puffy. It was really a war.
It was really a war.
I don't think it's still like set in yet.
You beat Anderson Silva, one of the greatest combat sports fighters of all time, and it wasn't easy. That guy is good.
He brought the fucking smoke.
He's so tough, man.
He was there to fight.
I did not see that coming. I knew he's a great fighter, but my God, he's fast
in the ring.
Yeah, he's like, come on, kid.
there was a lot of moments where he was
chirping,
playing a little, because we saw this whole fight build up where it was Anderson Silva, the humble, you know, combat sports veteran. Thank you so much, Jake, for giving me the opportunity to fight in this fight with you. And I said to myself, that he's going to carry that into the ring.
Yeah, no.
Bell rings. This dude's fucking shoving you, putting you in headlocks, giving you noogies.
Fighting dirty as fuck. He was pushing my head down the whole entire fight.
Follow and uppercut.
Doing the uppercut.
Yeah.
And the ref, like, I had to tell the ref, like, yo, he's pushing my head down. And the ref was like, yeah, you're pushing his head down. I was like, what?
Nah, he's strategic, bro. You were in there with someone who's got so many dirty little tricks. And I'm sure I could see you level up from the start of that fight to the end of the fight.
Yeah, I got better as the rounds went on. I was making adjustments. He was making adjustments. And he really thought I was going to back down, I think. You know, he brought a ton of pressure, a ton of smoke, and then I just matched it.
That was what won you the fight. When he went harder, and everyone in the stadium anyways felt the energy, and it started erupting, and he got way more violent and started throwing these flurries of punches. I know you're a warrior, bro, but I wasn't sure how you were going to react to that. And you met his violence with more violence, neutralizing the spider.
Yes.
I saw a warrior out of you yesterday, a gladiator in that ring that truthfully, bro, I had not seen you do yet. And I am so proud of you, bro. Like, you are an absolute animal. And if anyone doubts you in this sport now, they are fucking stupid.
Thank you, man.
You proved just how tough you are last night, man. You should be so proud of your performance.
Thank you, man. That means a lot. And I really appreciate it. And it's all kudos to my team. But also, you know, having that heart, you know, in some of my ayahuasca ceremonies and like spiritual awakenings, I realized my best attribute is my heart and just being, you know, willing to go and dig deep and do whatever it takes to get the W. You know, people say it's the power, it's the skill, it's this and that. No, mentally, to win the fight, you have to be super fucking strong and dig deep, because there's so many athletes who couldn't do that. It's all about like how bad you want it, and I wanted it more than him.
Your pre-fight ritual is fascinating, because you do have a crazy mental game, and I'm not sure how you get in that zone where you're willing to go to war with someone and to kill and die in the ring at the same time. And I was watching you sit on that chair and that lady do the sound bowls, and she's like singing,
so epic, bro.
A guy who's worth $500 million in your ear talking about dragons and shit.
Aubrey, bro. Shout out to Aubrey.
What was he saying?
Man, he, like, you can, I can't, words can't even recite what he's saying. He's poetic. And he literally writes poetry, and they are my spiritual guides, Lucas, Hella, Aubrey, Vailana, Blue, and have done so many spiritual ceremonies with them, ayahuasca, toad, all of these things, and they were there the whole entire time. And our energy, when it all combines, is just like something super magical. It's out of this world. It's from a different realm, and they just get me so prepared, and it's like such a deeper meaning, and his words are just like fascinating, and the stories he tells, he basically is like reciting old, I guess, warrior you know,
poems
and meaning.
Yeah.
And when it's just magical when he says it, and I could do is just like nod, because I'm like, yes, this is what I'm feeling.
That's so
deep
sick.
down, and talking about like kings, and I can't even really replicate it. But
he was doing that, and I was jealous because I was sitting there and I thought that was my time to give my speech. Yeah. I wrote a speech and I was like, fuck, bro, this when am I gonna give him my speech? And this guy's talking about kings and dragons and being
did
like,
that make you not want to give your speech?
No, seriously, bro, I fell back. Because
you're standing there all excited. The warriors of the 14th century ride with you through the fiery gates of hell. Literally. And you're just like, Jake, you are my brother. ever since the day you were born. He was like, nah, fuck that
bro,
shit.
Even when you gave your speech, like I was like, damn, like, what if I wanted to be the president? Like you kind of like sunned me in your speech.
I know. I was afraid about that part. And this is why.
But I was like, damn.
It's
supposed to be my moment.
I know.
He's good at that.
I was afraid. You're not wrong, bro. You're not wrong. I have to walk a fine line between not fucking up your perfect ceremonial pre-fight ritual and also trying to be like a helpful, supportive
brother.
Big brother.
It was great.
But I didn't know you wanted to be president.
No, it was actually really good, and I really enjoyed your speech. But I did laugh at that moment. I was like, "Damn, what if I want to be the president?"
You can't because of your tattoos.
Yeah, you're right.
I think times are changing. Were there any moments in the fight? Were there any moments in the fight last night where you were worried? I was in this strange circle of people because of the people that you were just talking about combined with other, you know, I've got a caravan of sorceress and hippies with long flowy gowns, 2 inches from Devin Booker and Sugar Sean and, you know, Logan's friends that snuck their way into the front row and told Devin he had to sit somewhere fucking else, which I thought was hilarious. And they're all conglomerated into the circle watching you go to battle. And As we talked about earlier, there were these moments where you were pressed into the corner, yep, and Anderson was just flurrying, dude. It was like an East Coast snowstorm coming at your fucking face. Yes. Were there any moments where you were like, damn, this is not going the way that I had predicted it to go?
No, honestly, like I was prepared, and it was credit to my sparring partners because they brought the smoke every single session and put me in those exact same situations. So, you know, there's always the worry of like the punch you don't see landing, and he was fucking throwing them,
awesome,
like putting his whole body behind these punches, and so my defense just like had to be perfect, but it was very difficult. So it wasn't worry, it was just like managing my heart rate and my lactic acid buildup, and pacing myself to be able to fight through those moments, and that was the most difficult part. So like the skill part of it, I had it under control, but it was just like staying calm in those moments and then returning the fire, because I had to make him back down and back up, and hitting him to the body is what slowed him down.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That was the number one thing. And that's what my coach is telling me. Like Danny yelled at me in the corner. He's like, after one of the rounds that he won, he was like, what the fuck are you doing? Wake the fuck up. You're letting him back you the fuck down. This is fucking bullshit. You're better than that. Fucking jab him, fucking punch him to the fucking body. You abandoned the fucking punch to the fucking body. Wake the fuck up. And I was like, oh shit, you're right. No, he was right though. And it woke me the fuck up. And sometimes you need that as a fighter in the corner. And that's what a great coach does. And it was a beautiful moment. I came back out in the next round. Boom, boom, boom. Jabbed on the way back. Boom, punch to the body and got out. And so it just like, it woke me up. And that's really what stopped him from coming forward. And then we started exchanging in those clinches, and that's what eventually dropped him in the 8th round.
It is so cool to me that I know when people buy your pay-per-views, they're going to be entertained.
Yeah.
Because you have fighters who are good and who are undefeated, but you don't always know if they're going to give you a good entertainment bout that night. And last night, man, it was a war all the way till the end. You have power. In the last round, you knocked down Anderson Silva, and the crowd goes crazy. Round 8, and it not even like what looked like a hard punch. You were grounded, but you came over the top and clipped mm-hmm. him in the right spot. You blinded with a jab, clipped him over the top. I have a question, because I'm just curious. When you did that, A, what was going through your mind? And then B, I thought we locked eyes in that moment, and I went, breathe, breathe.
And I breathed, yeah.
And I saw you go.
Yeah, I heard you.
It worked.
No, because you forget.
I was like, yo, he's probably stoked right now, but like,
calm down. center yourself.
Because you want to finish. You want to finish him in that moment, like when he stands back up, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like, you just have to gather yourself and like realize what happened, realize what punch you got him with, and then look at the opponent, like look him in the eyes, see how bad he's hurt, and if he's gonna be able to recover, if he's wobbling, which he wasn't showing any of those signs, but you want to see, because then you jump right the fuck back on him. But you have to be careful, because really experienced pro fighters will like act hurt like that, and then you'll come chin up punching, and then they'll fucking drop you. So
you want to stick to your game plan if he looks good.
Wow, that is speed. You know what we've been watching recently every Sunday? The NASCAR playoffs, fast cars, wrecks, fights, and all of the action anyone could ask for. It might be the end of the season, but the intensity is hitting its peak. This weekend, NASCAR is back in Phoenix for the championship race. So strap in for a wild ride as the stars of the NASCAR Cup Series take on Phoenix. The four drivers left are...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Vying for their spot to be a champion, it all comes down to this. The highest finisher among the top four wins the championship.
Let's go.
NASCAR always delivers an action-packed race full of lead changes, wild wrecks, and close finishes
and
that'll keep you on the edge of your seat the entire race. You have to experience NASCAR in person, so be sure not to miss the action. Go to NASCAR.com/tickets to get your tickets today. And if you can't make the race, tune in and get ready to take a beer shower at the finish line with NASCAR Cup Championship at Phoenix Raceway this Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Back to the program.
Were you surprised by... this obviously Anderson being one of the greatest combat sports athletes of all time, but were you surprised by his ability at 47 years old to stay in that fucking fight with someone of your age and your, you know, constant training capacity? I mean, this dude was in that fight the entire way through.
It's unbelievable. He defies all physics.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had young sparring partners, undefeated prospects, you know, 13-0 guys who were fighting, you know, just as hard. He was fighting just as hard as them. And so it's unbelievable. His body is skill. He truly is a fucking goat. And he was taking punches that no one else takes. What's interesting is when I knocked him down, that wasn't even the hardest punch. It was just like the timing of it and the way he was coming up. He lifted his chin up into the air, and that's what dropped him. But you see what happens when I land those punches with everyone else. You know, Tyron, Ben. Mm. Nate,
over game over.
They go to the fucking ground.
Right.
He would eat that shit, and I seen his eyes roll back in his head, and this motherfucker just kept on.
They just come back down.
No, seriously,
bro,
it was trippy as fuck.
When he was fully bleeding, like round six, his face is all fucked up. He's bleeding his eyes, and he looks like pissed.
Yeah,
what's going through your head?
I mean, I'm just like, I got him.
Got him.
I got his number. I know how to beat him. I got him figured out, and anything he does right now, it doesn't matter because I'm faster than him, and I'm picking him apart. And I saw that he was defeated. Mm. He didn't want to accept it, and he didn't want to lose, but he knew that he couldn't do anything to me and that he was taking a beating. And I hit him with this right hand lead like in the later rounds, and I think that was just like the punch that really
took his soul.
Yeah, that just like broke him in the sixth or seventh round, where the fight was over at that point. And basically in the eighth round, you know, what are his coaches telling him? You're losing the fight.
You have to knock
you
him
have
out.
To knock him out. Yep. Throw. Guess what?
He tried.
No, I'm coming too, bitch. Like, you think it's just your fight? You think it's just, oh yeah, now I'm gonna turn it on and knock Jake Paul out? No, fuck you, bitch. It's my eighth round too. So I turned it up, and I'm bringing the fight too. Like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to just give him the eighth round because I had it in the bag already.
I cannot believe you are a fucking boxer now. This is so weird. Like, what is happening? Last night, after you fought and beat Anderson Silva, you came immediately back to the house, ice bath, hot tub, and then you ran a podcast at 12:30 a.m., which is fast. Like, no one works as hard as you, which is insane. But you were giving the cheers. And I sat back a little bit, and I'm watching you thank your friends and family, and this beautiful moment after a successful
what, 10, 11 months now of training camp and hard work, and there's lights shining and everyone you know and love is around you. You just did this feat that was impossible on paper, and I got to look at a movie through my own eyes. Like, I have to gauge what is happening and really cherish these life moments, because this is it, brother. And what you've done with your life, full 180 now into a professional athlete and one of the most entertaining and promising ones on the planet, is absurd. Yo, yo, y'all remember when he was back at the Team 10 house, like spray painting garages and lighting shit on fire and climbing up news vans? Like, what a turn of events, man. And your post-fight speech was really inspirational too, man, because I don't think you understand how many kids are going to be influenced by just what you have proven, what is possible.
No, and that's my whole goal with this, and having the influence and the platform to inspire so many different people is why I do this. And that's why I even said, like, even if you're 40 or 45, you know, I hope to inspire them. It's never too late. It's never too late to start what you love. And I think so many people think that, but adults are sort of stuck in their ways, you know, and there's habits formed over so many years. So I think it's a little bit harder for them to change and, like, maybe uproot their life and become something different. So that is why I like to speak directly to the kids, because they're still early on. They're impressionable. They can make life changes and, you know, decide to do something that could change the rest of their life. But it is surreal, man. All of this is fucking crazy. And boxing saved my life. I would probably be dead or in jail, you know, doing that shit in Los Angeles. It was not a good lifestyle. And boxing, like, pulled me out of that and gave me this hope and gave me this light. And that's why I want to share this sport with the rest of the world.
I totally concur. I was on a run the other day, and I was just thinking about the evolution you've had, and the discipline that you've been forced to implement in your life has literally changed who you were going to become in such a good way. Cause yeah, bro, I was worried about you for a moment in time there. You've channeled your energy in such a positive way. I want to ask you more stuff, but I want to bring in Radio Raheem, absolute legend. And we see him every fight. Radio Raheem, bro, welcome to the party. I'm just gonna be doing like a little free for all today. I think Sean O'Malley's coming by as well, and like I want to get mom and dad on this podcast. Hey, I want to talk today. I want to get Titus in the podcast. John,
Titus, bro, come sit here, bro.
Titus, little mini Jake Paul, you fucking put in amazing cup. Fight.
Do you have a question, bro? Like, I'm sure you're the question guy.
Let me tell you something that hit my ear just now, and this is the difference between a guy who's like fucking around in the ring and trying to figure it out and a guy who crosses over and becomes a boxer. It's not how many years you've been doing it. It's not whether you were an amateur or not. It's in that moment when you said, I hit him with a right hand lead. And that's when he realized that I can't win this fight. Mm. The knowing that is that it's a demoralizing punch. Mm. The right hand lead is the longest punch to throw. Yep. It's your power shot. And if you can hit somebody with it, they know
exactly
there's nothing they can do with you.
Yeah,
that's how Floyd Mayweather demoralizes
100%.
People. Yeah, he hits him with a right hand. Lead. Like, how the fuck are you doing that?
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere.
And when you talk about the eighth round, that moment when you're like, oh, he's coming, he's turning it up, he's gonna try to win this round. Because to be honest with you, I had you up one round and going into the eighth.
No way.
One round.
Really? Yes. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you.
Do you remember what?
4-3?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Gnarly.
Now, listen, the thing about boxing judging is I'm watching it from my press seat. I got one side of the ring.
Yeah, facts.
I'm seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Boxing judging is anything but scientific.
That's why it needs to be fucking changed.
That's like, why the judges
boxing judging needs to be changed.
Watching it on a screen without the audience audio in their ear, without any kind of influence, they should be watching it like in where the director is watching it.
For sure.
In a truck.
Bro, I tweeted this. I don't know if you saw this. I said they should be watching it through a screen. There should be 6 judges. 3 of them make the final decision, but the other 2 should argue with them for the minute break in between. To if they disagree, like, no, he won that round. Why do you think he won the round? His jab control, this. And then the main judge makes the decision at the end of the day, but they shouldn't be in the arena. The crowd was rooting against me, and that influences them.
Well, right.
Subconsciously, the judges are influenced by the crowd erupting based off of punches.
Now, listen, I'm saying all that. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm saying that's the fight I saw, right?
Yeah.
And if he goes in there and knocks you down in the eighth round, or at least has a really solid round, where like, okay, this guy was winning going away with the crowd and everything, he knows he might win that fight or at the very minimum get a draw. Knowing as a fighter, like, okay, it's not just your fight. My fight too.
I love when he says that. Like he goes, it's my eighth round too. And you're fucking right. Like that was Anderson's desperation round, and you snatched it from him. And I think everyone in that moment knew like this cannot be left up for decision, which leads me to my next question. They're back. The motherfuckers who are saying it was rigged.
Bro,
the motherfuckers who are saying that Anderson was pulling his punches. That the same guys that say you were going to get knocked out by Anderson Silva, the narrative had changed to say the rigged. Fight was set up.
Bro, fuck them.
Talk to him.
It's just so stupid, man. And I feel bad for those people who actually believe that. It's illegal. Like, you're putting Showtime Boxing's reputation on the line, Steven Espinoza's reputation on the line. You are saying that Anderson Silva, the greatest fighter in combat sports history, is corrupt and that he would do something like that. It's just like disrespectful on so many levels. And it just makes me like lose faith. I already have lost faith completely in my generation of kids. I think they're fucking imbeciles.
Really?
I feel bad for a lot of them. All sheep, don't think for their own. Addicted to, you know, this dopamine trap and don't even realize that they're not awake.
No, it's a nasty.
It doesn't mean I don't want to help them.
Yeah.
But I've lost faith, and so I'm fighting I'm fighting to help them, in a way where who knows if it's possible. I'm still gonna fight the battle, but like the fact that these kids think of this and conjure that, it just goes to show me like how stupid people are.
It's a really dumbass echo chamber. Like when I see these comments, I'm gonna get a little aggressive here. Yo, if you think that fight in any way was dishonest, you're a fucking loser. And I mean that at the bottom of my heart. I want you to go home, look at yourself in the mirror, and ask yourself the following question. What do I lack? What do I lack in my life that forces me to go and discredit a kid who I know is working his ass off? You know how hard my brother works. And the answer might be one of the following. A fucking brain. Friends. Purpose. I urge you to use critical thinking when you type dumb shit online.
But why do we care? Like, does this mic actually work? Let me ask this. These people are trolls. They're like, it makes me want to throw up that we're wasting our time having this conversation. Like,
but
bro,
we have to stop.
Bro, let me.
Stop that narrative.
No, because
and show them like they're fucking stupid.
I believe that Anderson Silva is actually an oak tree. And I can get a bunch of people to agree with that if I tweet it. And Anderson Silva
is,
bro, who gives a fuck what these idiots are saying? Who cares? Go fuck yourselves.
Because
like who?
They are just as big of influencers as any of us. Because these comments, when they comment it, get 5,000 likes.
They get the likes. The people
10,000 likes on SportsCenter.
But this is
and guess what? That takes away from the sport of boxing. And I want to grow this sport. And if people think what I'm doing is rigged or whatever the fuck it is, then that's detrimental to the sport as a whole.
But what I'm trying to say to you is like that is a macro discussion that's existing elsewhere as well in other places.
I care because I work so fucking hard.
No,
I get dedicate my life to this, bro. I wake up every single day and fucking grind and sacrifice my body. I am willing to die in the ring. I've said that to my maker. I said, you know, even yesterday, I said in the morning when I woke up before the fight, I said, I am willing to die tonight. I'm willing to sacrifice my body for the greater good of humanity and for the greater good of the sport of boxing. And the fact that I'm willing to risk my life and then these peasants just like come online and say this stupid shit.
But it's this big comparatively to the people that watched that fight last night. Those people are the people that think that Anderson Silva is actually a bouncy house and not a human. These are the same age as Titus. They are fucking children, bro.
Was it you that commented that?
But both of you guys can be right. It, on the one hand, it doesn't matter because they are trolls. But the other thing is, both of you pride yourself on doing the impossible.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you see something done that you consider to be impossible, you don't believe you can do it, then the only thing that makes you get out of bed in the morning and feel like you're worth something is to say, he can't really do it either.
Exactly.
Okay, okay.
So
that's why I said you lack purpose. So you got nothing else to do.
It's their fucking issue within themselves. And that's why I feel bad for them. But that's also why I've lost faith. And I could show them a million times how to do it and how to find love and how to become awakened. I was that person. I was jealous, insecure, lacking confidence, didn't know who the fuck I was, shaming other people, pulling other people down to try and make myself feel better. And this was me as a 21-year-old, you know, and I found my way out of that. And so can these people, and they have to. I was living a miserable life, and so are they, but they don't even realize it. And at the time, I didn't realize I was living a miserable life until I was awakened, and these people need fucking help, but it's like, wake the fuck up, people.
But you're talking about the fight in yourself. It's the first fight you have to win before you climb through those ropes.
Exactly.
You're talking about beating your biggest opponent. That doubt in your own mind,
yep.
That disbelief that it is impossible and I can't do any more things that are impossible than the guy who I'm saying is faking the fight. Mm. You win that fight and you can inspire those very same trolls, might be the ones that come up after you and be like, you know what?
No, they're not.
I'm telling you, you can't write people off like that because people are at different stages of development.
It's they need to
watching
do shrooms,
a guy win
bro.
A fight inside himself.
They need to do shrooms. They need to do shrooms. They need to do psychedelics.
Listen here, kids. Seriously. Do ayahuasca.
No, seriously. Do it. Do it. I think it. For real.
Kid here.
Because the mics don't work. Scream, George.
Kids do ayahuasca too.
What are you talking about, dude?
Bro, kids started in tribal communities.
It was a war.
Tribal communities, the initiation process to become a man is to do ayahuasca when you're 13 years old. And guess what? Those fucking in those tribal communities are fucking badasses. They're smart. They fucking work. They have a fucking family. They're loyal. There's no fucking Instagram, all that fucking bullshit. That is humans. That is the way to fucking live. And we've been stripped of that. We've been stripped of like who we are as primates. And we are in this fucking world where, you know, people think you're cool because you wear a fucking designer or fucking brand and shit. Like, we are so far gone. We are so fucked up.
What, dude?
I
love your passion, and regardless of you liking it or not liking it, is this not working? Or?
They're working.
Yell.
Hello?
They're working, they're saying.
Listen, I think at the end of the day, this is going to fuel you, but most importantly, you have to show them grace, bro, because you were put in that situation where you were a schmuck once, where you didn't know who you were, you were shitting on other people. And for you to get past it, you got to know deep down it's not going to change. There's always going to be somebody that's going through a hard time that's going to want to tear somebody down that's doing really well. So you got to show them grace. Once you see it from that perspective, you're no longer fighting from that. You're really doing it for a better and stronger cause, bro.
Bro, I've been very graceful and patient.
I don't want to use the word.
And constantly spreading this message. And I know it's going to take a long time, and you know, people might be abrasive or whatever, and they don't want to listen to it. But I'm going to continue to spread the message because I was those same people.
Your message is to fight on, like, bullies, right? You don't want bullies to be bullies. You think for a second, you were saying you were talking to a higher power. You think that your enemy is not going to throw all of the bullies at you because you're stopping it, bro? You're going to take the same bullets at you that you're trying to stop other people from shooting. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're going to go up against even more. And the higher you climb, I don't want to sit here and lie to you and be like, yo, bro, fuck those guys. They're gonna go away at one point. You're not. Because you're gonna keep going up and there's gonna be more people that are upset about that.
I guess the thing is like I was never a hater. Like even when I was like in those moments and shit, like I never felt the need to really like hate on someone for no fucking reason.
I have.
You've done that?
Yeah, I still do. I'm a hater.
No, you're not. I swear. Who do you hate on?
I just can't. I don't know. I hate sometimes.
I could call out some examples. Like, I got some examples.
I don't know.
No, he does. And also, you did too, bro. Come on.
Maybe.
No. But it's coming from a place of like
insecurity.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I was going to say competitive. It was just like random. Like,
well, it's insecurity. If you're hating anybody, it's insecurity.
I never commented on someone that I don't know or like didn't understand. All the people I hated on were because I knew them and I knew their character and I met them in person. I was like, that's a shitty person. Hence KSI. Those types of people.
Whoa. Drink Prime.
Drink Prime.
Does your back hurt from all that dick riding?
I thought you were going to say from carrying this promotion, which I felt like
would have been. No, that is true. But yeah, no, you are the reason Prime is successful.
That's not true.
We couldn't have done it without him. Listen, I have a question.
I disagree.
You band together with Anderson Silva to form the Fighters United Corporation Incorporated together. Fuck it, as you named it, right? The Fighters United Corporation Incorporated together, right? That's what you want to call it? Fuck it?
Yeah, the Fuck It Corporation.
Right. So I think you're gonna do. I think you're gonna do a good thing for fighters in boxing, bro. But the big question is now, who's next?
Who's next?
What are you doing?
Nate Diaz. I don't know.
Is it Nate Diaz? Yeah, has to be, bro.
I would love to fuck up.
He
that
slapped your breath
fucking...
work guy in the coast.
Dude, I'm sorry to say this, but how funny is it that he choked the guy that teaches you how to breathe? He stopped the guy from breathing.
But that teaches you how to breathe. With all due respect, I've mentioned on this podcast before, I don't know if Lucas is here. Lucas also punched me in the dick once, bro.
You deserved it. I'm
joking. Nah, you did.
Didn't he punch Israel Adesanya too?
He punched Israel Adesanya
too.
What if he actually?
Why is he always?
What if he started the fight? What if he walked by and hit him in the nuts, and that's what actually started?
Lucas was going to the fucking locker room, and he was like, "Yo, like, let me get by." And because he had Problem Child merch on, he got choked.
How do we know? Can the story
there's
be
video.
No, there's video.
Oh yeah, everyone said it. Lucas was my dad.
Yeah, dad has head pads.
All right, this who's next question. Let's be real about it. Nate Diaz would be a huge fight, right? I'd want to see it. Yeah. It'd be a scrap. The thing that you want, though, that credibility, the thing you want to shut these haters down. Some people won't be shut down no matter what. Fuck them. But the people who have legitimate, like, okay, this isn't fixed, but I don't fuck with it because I've never seen him fight a boxer and he keeps calling himself a boxer. There's nobody else you could fight, no matter what their reputation is, no matter what the grudge is, that isn't at least a somewhat proficient fight boxer. Boxer.
Yep. He's tried though. He's tried the Raheem.
I'm not saying you didn't try.
Yep.
I'm saying if you don't do, then that criticism will never, ever go away. And you won't get the credit that you feel you deserve or test yourself in the way that I think you want to.
He's right. I don't think you should give a fuck. I think you should do exactly what you want to do and like don't let the critics decide who you're going to fight next. Bro, you said it, and it's the most accurate thing ever, and people aren't weighing the magnitude of the following sentiment. No one else has challenged themselves in their first 6 fights the way you have.
No one ever.
Most boxers, professional boxers, build themselves up with trash cans, dude.
Four-round fights. For the first 5 fights. Then, after the 5th fight, they go to 6-round fights.
But
so
fighting,
their 10th
fighting
fight.
Guys who are 2-11, 1-15, 12-45.
Also not calling out Canelo.
You
gotta do the thing.
Psychopath.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to fight Canelo. I can beat him.
It's so funny because...
But see, there's a thing. To say that without having fought somebody who boxes as a trade, as a profession...
I think it makes people feel like
it's bullshit.
So, I mean, interestingly enough, sometimes boxing an MMA fighter is more difficult than boxing a boxer because the punches are different. You know, they fight dirty. Anderson was pulling my head down. It's random. It's awkward. When he punches, he steps forward with his fucking foot. He's all over the fucking place. Sometimes boxing a boxer is easier because they throw the same goddamn punches as every other boxer.
Mm. They're going to hate you.
Good. And guess what? When I fight a boxer, I will knock them the fuck out. And then what are they going to say after that? People,
They'll come up with something to say.
I have fucking time. It's been 2.5 years. I will fight a boxer. I'll fight everybody.
You're 25,
it's been
right?
2.5 years. I'm 25 fucking years old. Like, I just got started. As fast as I can get these deals done, I am fighting these motherfuckers, whoever the fuck it is. Big fights, big names. That's what I want. And when it happens, it happens. I do want to fight a professional boxer, and I will. And there's big names. There's people that have been hitting me up. There's all types of legends who want to fight me.
Is there anyone currently active right now that you feel has the capability, social clout, standing, credibility to box you? Like, is there anyone you could think of right now coming off of an Anderson Silva W? And I'm not talking about fucking Canelo, dude. I'm talking about, like, realistic, like, you can get the fight made.
Yeah. Yeah, for negotiation purposes and leverage, I just don't want to talk about
it. Okay, fair enough.
Sure.
Fair
enough. That's why, like, you know.
Could you say it and beep it out or no?
Could you say it and beep it out?
I mean, there's a couple names. I think my nose is broken.
You just realized that?
Titus, check it out. Check his nose out.
100. Oh, man, I think it's broken.
Let me see.
That's fine.
I actually think it's broken.
But you've always had a bit of a... It's always been going like an angle.
Okay, no, it's not. Ooh, that's really sharp pain, though. That hurts.
Pam?
Whatever.
Can we get the doctor?
I think if I fought...
Really?
You fight... And they will have to shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Tell me that's not a good matchup.
No, that's more than legit. That's an active,
yep,
professional
world champion,
championship level fighter.
See where your head's at.
That's, yeah. I mean,
and I think it's a good fight because I have the weight advantage and the height advantage.
You're gnarly, Jake.
I also don't want to be disrespectful. Well, he's going to come off super disrespectful.
But who the fuck is that?
He's big. I wouldn't say like that. I don't know him as much as I know Nate Diaz. So I'm talking about as an entertainment standpoint.
No, that's the problem is for me to... This is the problem with finding a fight for me. It is, has to be a big name, has to be credible, has to be a tough fight, has to be free from all their different contracts.
What do you want? What do you want?
No, but that's incredibly important because I wanted to ask this question as well. Anderson Silva, massive name, draws what I would assume the entire MMA community. And I don't know how to say this without like, don't take this as disrespect, but when I was scrolling Twitter today and just like seeing the social buzz, it didn't get and make as much noise as I thought it would.
Trended number one.
Agreed.
Why? Because Halloween.
It's weird. I mean.
No, that's a fair statement.
Halloween, everybody was trick or treating. World Series, yeah. Sunday football. This is the worst time of the year to fight. But guess what? I had to fight.
Yeah.
All my fights from now on will be in the summer. There's no sports. It's like there's like this perfect gap in July / early August where there's no sports. And by the way, all my other fights were during COVID. This is like.
When no one had anything to do
and anything to watch. The NFL was canceled. NBA, nothing was on.
Everyone was Halloween.
Exactly. So
you went in risking this, not knowing that it wasn't going to get
as
much money?
Yes,
yes. That's a fucking fighter right there,
bro. I had to fight this year. I just had to get it fucking done, bro. I'm sick and tired of waiting around.
It's so funny to me how last year you made $40 million and until yesterday you made zero, technically.
Not only did I make zero, I lost like millions of dollars just running a goddamn organization with 15 employees.
You have so many people on your team.
We were talking about that last night. Caravans.
Yeah.
Convoys. Of people.
Yep. But everyone provides more than the value of more than what they get paid. So
do you know how many pay-per-view buys it got yet?
I don't. I think it'll probably go around like 200,000 to 300,000,
really?
Which is kind of upsetting. But
I think it was
maybe the most entertaining fight that you've had, though. Without a knockout, without, you know what I mean, the kind of buzz before that we would have expected. This is a credible fight. I'm not saying because he wasn't a boxer, it wasn't credible. I think it's just going to end up being like this social media wave and people acknowledging it after the fact. Like, they're going to come up this morning.
It builds major
and be like,
equity.
He did what?
Yeah.
You were an underdog for this fight.
Yeah.
You knocked down Anderson Silva in the final round with more than a minute to go. I'll tell you what else I thought. When he got up, I was like, Jake's in fucking trouble. There's too much. There's too much of this round left. Like, that's who Anderson Silva is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just now coming to the sport.
Yeah.
I've seen Anderson Silva take a tough shot, get knocked down, seem like he was this far from losing a fight, and then like submit a guy, then knock a guy out with one shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Jake, better not think the fight's over.
I was being careful, by the way. I knew not to like jump on him and to try to finish it. I knew he was gonna be fine, but. Back on the pay-per-view buys thing, the pre-buys were going crazy, up. And on Wednesday, when the news came out about Anderson's, you know, saying that he got knocked out or whatever, and the fight was in jeopardy, and all this press came out, the pre-buys tanked.
No way.
All the way down.
I didn't think that would actually have any effect.
I thought the fight was over.
Yeah. No way. You thought it was canceled.
I called all my friends.
The general public sees that and is like, oh, it's not happening. Tommy pulled out. Haseem pulled out. Oh, Jake fucking Paul can't get an event together. This is done. It killed ticket sales. Boom, boom. We're still selling tickets that day.
Everything
went to zero.
Stadium looked good. Stadium looked good, man.
Phoenix showed up.
Yeah, but it's still like fucking annoying. He went check. And I went checkmate.
I love that one. But it's gonna take a while. I hope you know, because you're not gonna be able to get people who are assigned to the UFC. You're gonna have to.
Yes, I will.
I don't think you're gonna. They're all gonna have to join the union at once.
Yes, and we're gonna raise $50 million, and the fighters who are fighting check to check, we will fund them so that they don't have to be obedient to the UFC. We will fund their salaries or their career earnings.
You are in the meantime, wild, brother.
We will fund their...
You're coming for his neck, his whole organization.
And we all can see the physical damage that fighters take. It's apparent. The mental challenges and the mental damage that fighters take is something that is just now becoming relevant and prevalent. Yeah. Fighters are just now having the courage to talk about it.
I love that.
There is an element to that aspect
of health,
which is mental, that you have to implement in this union. That's something that I'm
passionate
about.
Are you down to help?
Am I down to help? I'm telling you right now, I'm not only offering my help, I'm asking you to let me help.
Bro, let's go. Yes, bro. Let's go.
I would love that, bro. We need all the help we can get, like, for real. And
so
you've been
cool.
There since day one, bro. I love you. I appreciate your support. And yeah, man, we need all the help we can get. And that's a great fucking point.
Yeah, so
sick.
I want to let George ask one last question, because I like it, before we let you go and go get that bag at that pool party.
What did you say to Anderson when you tapped gloves with him? You like said something after, like when that round hit, when you hit him, right when the bell hit, but right after you touch it, looked like you apologized or something. Were you chirping at him right before or no? I just had to know, because I saw you say something to him. When you guys touch gloves after that round, where when the bell rang, you hooked him.
Oh. He kept on saying, stop tying up, kid. Stop tying up, kid. And then I was fucking him up, and then he started tying up. I said, who's tying up now?
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. I wanted to know so bad.
Damn, bro. I thought you were going to have a stronger ending.
A stronger ending?
Stronger last question. I thought you were going to ask him what you said to Anderson when you guys both like bowed down in the ring
after. Oh, bro. He said, no one can ever talk about you again. He said, no one can say anything about you again. You are a champion.
Oh, shit.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
get out of here, kid.
All right.
We love you, Jake Paul.
Love you guys.
Congrats on the big win.
No, I think we're going to see you at the pool party. Let's go.
All right.
No.
I mean, I think we run it. We got Sean O'Malley popping in the house. We got a bunch of energy.
That more so even than what you do in the ring proves that you love the sport of boxing and that this thing is actually in you.
Yeah.
You have to care about your fellow fighters, and nobody's doing what you're talking about doing. It's necessary.
Wild how it doesn't exist yet.
Because nobody really cares enough to follow through with that. We will do that.
So fucking cool.
We will do that.
That's that long-lasting legacy shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, both you guys have been in the boxing ring. I've been ringside for many, many years.
Yeah.
I've watched fighters have mental breakdowns in front of us, and all we do is like, oh, man, you got to be mentally tough. There's so much mental toughness that required to win inside the ring that nobody thinks about the mental toughness it takes to live your life outside the ring and turn that switch on and off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give you some examples. And I'm not, I think, speaking out of school, because these fighters have said themselves that they're having mental challenges.
Yep.
You're talking about Ryan Garcia. Most recently, Danny Garcia. Even Jaylion Love. I did an interview with Jaylion Love 3 years ago, and we were at the weigh-in this week with Jake, and he came up to me. He's like, man, you know what? The interview that people talk about and ask me about the most is the one that we did 3 years ago. And I'm like, what did we talk about 3 years ago? He's like, I was going through a mental challenge. And people watch that, me talk about that, you ask me about that, and they feel like now there's somebody else that is in the place that they were in.
For sure.
That they watch overcome it.
For sure.
You see Deontay Wilder, right? I want a body on my record. I take him to task. I'm like, yo, you don't actually want to kill people in the ring, whatever. And they get upset with me, like, oh, you know, you're making this something bigger than what it is. But what I know is that he doesn't really want to kill somebody in the ring. That as you mature and you realize how dangerous a sport this is, and you start to love your fellow fighter, you know that not only do you not want to kill anybody, you don't want to permanently hurt anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
And in his most recent fight, he broke down in tears after the fight, after knocking out, you know, the guy in the first round. Hellenius, just at the thought of what kind of damage that could do to him long term. That's Deontay Wilder maturing, but it's also something we have to watch. The way the fighter's mentality has to be acknowledged and has to be looked after, not just by the guys who are like in their corner and rah rah, yeah, you're a killer, you're this, you're that.
Yeah.
But those of us who care about the sport, and I put pressure on them. He talked, you know, Anthony Joshua talked about the pressure when he did that kind of odd speech
at the
after
end,
the Usyk fight.
That was odd.
It's like, you don't know, you know, the kind of pressure running all this shit, and you don't know what we go through. It's true. It's true. We have to realize that they're not just in a fight in the ring, like all of us. They're in a fight within themselves 100%. Every single day. And you know, because you're famous and there's all these people have opinions about every single thing you do, that pressure can get to you. And that pressure can be a hell of a lot harder hit than anybody you're facing with boxing gloves on.
Totally. Dude, I think mental anguish is much harder than any physical challenge I've ever been faced with. Like if I have to battle my mind, I'm in trouble. That's the battle. Right. That's the battle I don't want. And the stigma around mental health is slowly dissipating. And Mike's big on this. I mean, like, we all know now how important it is to be mentally healthy and as clear as you can possibly be, especially if you're a fighter, because you have so much on the line. Like, fighter is the perfect word for what this occupation is. You fight literally with your hands. You fight at home. You fight to put food on your family's table, and you do so with your body. Your hands, your feet, the flesh puppet that you were born into is your vehicle for the success that you're trying to make in your life. And it's wild, man. It's and I like that angle. And like, I think if you guys all do this and Jake does what he wants to do, which I think he's going to, because I don't doubt anything he ever says ever again, it's that long lasting legacy stuff that's going to change the face of the fight game forever, for the rest
of time.
That's
legacy.
You mentioned Deontay Wilder, Radio Raheem. I want to ask you this, bro, because I never asked you this, bro. I don't know if y'all know this. You know the Deontay Wilder meme where he goes, to this day, he was screaming at Radio Raheem.
One of the most classic.
Round of applause. Thank you.
How'd you get that out of
here? How did you get that?
You asked him a question about
he and Tyson Fury, a British fighter, a gypsy, who's known around the world, but not that well in the States, and Deontay Wilder, who's known in the States, but not that well around the world. They come together to have this global match. The British press is there. All kinds of people from the UK, all kinds of people from the Middle East, people in America. Everybody's there, and they're face-to-face. And Fury says, my people have been fighting for 200 years. Now, I cover British boxing. I know a little something about history. I know something about Tyson himself. I know he's talking about the Furies. I'm a fighter. My dad was a fighter. My daddy before him was a fighter.
Okay.
This kind of shit.
The gypsy lineage.
Culture, right? I also know a little something about black people in America. I know something about Deontay Wilder coming from Alabama.
Yeah.
He says, what? Fuck that. My people have been fighting for 400 years.
Yeah.
He's not talking about the Wilders. He's not talking about his daddy or his daddy's daddy. He's talking about black people in this country have been fighting and struggling. I think he misunderstood what Fury was saying. Fury, having said what he said, everybody around the world doesn't hear that as like a dog whistle. Everybody doesn't know what Wilder's referencing when he says 400 years, right? So he comes off the stage. Now, mind you, they tussle up there. Their tempers are high.
Yeah.
And so I say, Deontay, what did you mean by your people have been fighting for 400 years?
What guy? You knew what he was going to say.
Loses his shit. But the point is.
The reaction.
I knew what he was talking about, but I wanted him to say what I thought he would say, which is to explain what he was talking about so that 3/4 of the world who don't live in America, who are not watching this from an English-speaking country and don't necessarily know the plight of the black man in America, might understand what he was talking about. Take that thing you just said that's important and translate it for the rest of the world. Yeah. Everybody's not going to get that reference.
Yeah.
He thought that, like you just said, well, you know what I'm talking about. You're fucking, are you really having the audacity of a black man in America? This is my job. I'm supposed to prod.
You prodded Jake a little bit, dude. Here on this exact show, you're like, I had you 4-3, pussy.
They call him a pussy, but I do have to speak like the truth. I got to challenge a guy.
You got to be super objective and actually probably like against whoever you're interviewing, maybe a little bit to get the best reaction.
Listen,
you're
good at your job. Everybody I talk to at some point thinks I'm for the other guy.
Okay.
That's how I know I'm doing my job well. Yeah. If everybody you talk to thinks that you're talking for the other guy, then you're challenging
that's
the
why
guy.
We got Mikey
that means
on.
You're challenging everybody.
That's why we got Mikey on.
Waller took it so personally, dude. He thought that I was trying to like distance myself from black culture or deny that I knew what slavery was about or Jim Crow was about or oppression was about. When really I was trying to make him the spokesperson, the ambassador for something that he had already put on the table. The visceral reaction that he had, that kind of emotion, that kind of like literally touch a sore spot and watch him scream was good for the fight. They sold out after that moment. I don't know that that's great for mental health. I don't know that that is disassociated from what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I've been banned by the best of them. A lot of fighters at some point won't talk to me anymore.
Wow.
Because they take my coverage of the sport personally. And just like Jake was so upset about trolls and shit like this, I didn't just give him some advice that I don't take. I had to be like, with fighters that I respect, that I love, that I admire, that I cover, when they say, oh, I won't talk to you, fuck Randy Rahimi, he has to get out of here. I'm talking about like Floyd, Deontay, Adrian Broner, like a lot of people at the top of their sport, at the top of their profession, will watch me do interviews with other people and be like, man, I thought that was my guy. Why would he criticize me like this? Why would you ask me that question? Why would you say I was only up one round going into the eighth? This fucking guy is a hater. It's not the case, bro. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what you say. So I have to put in front of you a question that makes you make your case. It's not for me to say why our people have been fighting for 400 years. You mentioned it. It's for you to say. I'll say whatever I have to say to get you to say what you need to say.
Sure.
To get you to open up so that everybody can see who you really are and what you're really talking about. I'm just a vessel, and I'll do whatever is necessary to amplify you.
You're a dog. You're so good at your job.
Well, thank you for that.
No, of course. The first time you ever interviewed, I think me, I was like, that guy was different than the rest. Wow. And then, bro, also, you're running a awesome circle of people. Seeing you on Rogan, like you yourself have transcended, I think, what it means to be a. What would you even describe your occupation as?
You know, I'm a broadcast journalist. You know what I mean?
Okay,
I'm a broadcast journalist, I think, by profession.
Yeah.
And that journalism doesn't only exist in the boxing realm, which is something that I discovered during COVID. I think we all discovered a little something about ourselves and the kind of lives we were living during that downtime, right? And you say I travel in a good circle of people. Boy, that's an understatement. I am blessed to know people who can level me up, who can be examples for me on how to like become better at what I'm doing and also see the world at a different angle. You're one of those people. Mm. People who say things like, my job is to do the impossible and your job is to believe I can't do it. That quote, I spit off the top of my dome because that's one of those things. I'm like, he's one of those guys.
Thanks, bro.
That's why we're friends. That's why you're one of the people I admire. That's why I did this. Till This Day is the name of my podcast, by the way, because I'm a bit of a troll too.
So good.
Like, yes, okay. That's what everybody knows. Then let's call it
so
that.
So good.
It's a podcast about the fight inside of people, not boxers. What I realized when I couldn't cover boxing is that you don't have to be a boxer to be a fighter. And to be a fighter, you don't necessarily have to be a boxer. There's people all around me who have overcome huge challenges, great adversity, have won fights that seemed impossible, that even though they're my friends, I didn't know existed in them. Yeah. And I started to talk to people about them. John Stewart, like Andrew Yang, ran for president. Common, Questlove, like huge people. Even John Zimmer, who was like the founder of Lyft, the guy who nobody really knows, and you like his person, you go in and find out, well, how does a guy change like how I got here today? Yep. Traffic and shit like this. It's because everybody in themselves is overcoming something and reaching to be great. They're reaching to do what they thought was impossible and defeated their own doubts, their own insecurities, their own hurdles that they put in front of their own selves, got over that, and now are an example to the rest of us. That's what I do. Mm. And I'll do that in any realm that you find me. I just love boxing the most.
So sick, man. So I'm glad to have you on, bro.
I'm honored to be on. Like, you guys are the shit.
Which we're trying,
bro. Boxing shows he should come back.
No, for sure. It's fantastic. Yeah. And your voice is great. You're literally our radio Raheem. Sean O'Malley's here.
Nice.
I want to get him on. Do we have an extra mic? I don't want to kick Jeff off.
No, but also, I don't even want to.
He's looking for a way out.
They work. I know they work, but I can't work.
You can't work like this? You fucking diva. You pussy ass bitch. Just because you can't hear yourself. By the way, that's the issue. He can't hear himself, so he can't work like this. Yo, shut up.
We need a better production team. Switch it.
Is Mike bitching about something?
Yes, obviously.
I can't work like this.
I can't believe you genuinely said that out loud.
Jacket. Can't work. Oh, yeah. Well,
like, this is any harder than
the champs here, guys.
What up, champ?
What's up, boys?
Oh, my God. Sean O'Malley.
How you doing? Dude, I loved watching you. Like, Jake's fight was sick, but I loved watching you, too, watch Jake's fight. Mm-hmm. And that happened the last time I was there, too. I fucking just catch myself looking at you, and you're just...
He stands there screaming.
I get so stoked. I was with my ma. I was feeding off your energy, ma. You were giving Jake advice. I like when you give Jake advice like you know how to box.
That's helpful.
What was the advice, ma?
I was basically telling him to get... out of the fucking corner.
Yeah. Hey, that's good. I mean,
that drives me
not bad.
Nuts.
She's right.
He gets caught. That's where but he's Anderson fighting, was getting
Anderson's,
him.
That shows how good Anderson is.
Yeah.
He's doing what he needs to do to win the fight.
Yes.
That was a sweet fight. It was a very impressive fight.
I'm glad you were entertained because you're a fighter yourself coming off a massive win. We were going crazy. I just did your podcast the other day, so I'm going to just repeat what I said on your podcast, but... Sean O'Malley, congratulations, bro. You are, I mean, absolutely incredible. Peter Yan, who at one point I thought was like, probably still is one of the scariest guys in the UFC. He's a dog. I was worried for you, Sean. We all were.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my friends get fucked up.
And he's Russian. It just makes it a little bit more scary.
Always scarier. Always scarier. Always scarier.
Like,
always.
Yeah.
I have to ask. We were just talking about how Jake has to deal with trolling people online, talking shit. When you come off of a win that's that impressive, where even your boys are kind of like, fuck, this is going to be tough. And for you to be a dog in the ring and then go back to the media and read this shit, like, bro, is it worth it in your heart or no?
It doesn't. The media really doesn't affect me. Like, I genuinely don't really, like, those guys that are talking shit are just so stupid. I feel like if it did affect me, it would be me being weak-minded. And I feel like everything I've worked on in myself for the last 5-6 years, growing, becoming famous, is like, it's to deal with that stuff. So I really don't, I'm not affected by it. And the people that I respect, that's like, I respect their opinions. And all those guys are like, dude, that was so entertaining. Like that's genuinely what I love about this. The love about fighting is entertaining people, dude. And then those guys, like you guys watching the fight, just going the ups and downs in the second round when I rock him and I'm about to put him away. Then he hits me with the left hand that I have no idea how I ate. Like, and you guys, oh, I just love that. That's what I love. So their opinions don't fucking matter.
I have drawn a lot of parallels between that fight and actually Jake's fight. What up, GP? Do you want to sit in real quick? Just maybe between Pam and George.
GP coming at you.
No. Don't sit next to Sean. Don't sit next to.
Oh, oh my God.
GP's coming at you.
Greg, nice to meet you. I remember Greg.
When he talks to George, could you give him the mic?
Maybe.
So, so the parallels I drew between your fight and Jake's fight is A, like I was grateful that I got to see a warrior in both of you that I, not that didn't know existed, just hadn't seen yet. We hadn't seen either of you, I don't think, like really actually have to dig deep.
Yeah.
And when you rocked Jan, did what you do, you stayed calm and you went to go put him away. But then Jan came back with a fatty dude and hit you so fucking hard. I went, no, Jan!
Oh, God. Bro, I rewatched that left hand a few times. I don't know. I think it goes to show how good a shape I was in and how I did everything right. Because if I wasn't in as good a shape, if I didn't eat as good as I did, if I didn't sleep as good as I did, if I didn't take that camp for 12 weeks as serious as I did, that left hand would have put me out.
People underestimate this about Sean. I do too, bro. Because it's your colorful hair, you got braids and you got chains and stuff. You're not really the party animal that I thought you were. Like,
dude,
you grind.
Last night was weird. I went home. I fought the biggest fight of my life 6-7 days ago. All the boys are in town. Jake's coming off a fat... I went home last night. I know. But I was gone from Danny and Elena for 17 days in Abu Dhabi. And I turned 28 the other day. And I thought the right decision was to go home.
All right, so I have a question. Maybe you guys are
weird. Where's Sugar Sean? Where's the Sugar Show? Because the Sugar Show that I know was in Vegas, getting absolutely blasted, diving into a pool that had 6 inches of depth. You remember that, bro? Probably not.
I remember from the video.
He goes, I'm going to dive in the pool.
No, I said, tell me I won't. No, he's like, won't. I'm like, okay.
He dove in the shallow end of the pool, bro. 6 inches, dove, hit his head. He goes, I hit my head. Yeah,
all right. So I have a question. Maybe you address this. The last fight, do you think you won it?
I right after
there's
I didn't
a lot
know.
Of talk about it, and when he raised your hand, watching it looked like you were kind of like, oh shit!
I was concussed, and my heart rate was 200 for like 15 minutes. You get concussed and you get hit in the head, yeah. But right after the fight, I was just like, holy fuck! But after rewatching it, I in my mind a little bias. I won round 1 and 3. Damage for sure.
What I had to.
I don't even think it's that like.
Well,
I won
debate, one. Is in the fight, while you're having the fight, and then you go home and watch it again, how often is it a completely different fight you're watching than the fight you were in?
I had no idea what to expect rewatching. I knew there was a couple things like that little takedown I hit at the end of the first. I feel like because no one expects me to wrestle, and I have pretty good wrestling, and. So I was super excited to watch that. I knew I hit him with a nice left hand. I wanted to watch that. The knee that I cut him with, I was super pumped to watch that. So like, there was little bits and pieces that I was excited to go back and watch. But other than that, I just like had no idea.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
And I think you would as well. I had you winning 1 and 3. Do you think the UFC understands that you are a more promising and lucrative draw than Peter Yan, and by giving you that win, it will be better for the organization? And do you think that influenced the outcome at all?
I don't think it did, because the judges in the UFC are completely two different, like they're not even...
They're freelance judges.
They're 100, yeah. They have
clear the air for me, like, because I think everyone at home, and even me, Brett, I'm like in the sport, and you would know as well, there's not like a fucking head honcho making a quick call to a judge with an earpiece in it who's like, give Sean the win. Since give Sean
another
the win.
Conspiracy
that we know of. Yeah. That we know of.
I mean, I don't know. I've seen some fights in the UFC where like the guy who shouldn't have won the fight because he's more entertaining or can bring in more money for the organization. And like, I don't know. I think a lot of people who doubt what happened in that fight are on that side of the fence.
Yeah, I just think if you really go back and watch it, and then you understand the judging criteria is damage on a fight. Number one thing is damage. So if there's no damage, then you go to number two, which is whatever. But the number one's damage. There was plenty of damage dealt out in the first round. I clearly hit him more harder than he did in the first round. Second round, he beat me, which is still, I mean, the second round was even closer than you think, because if you count down, do you count knockdowns? I technically dropped him to a knee. He didn't drop me. He landed a left hand.
Rocker.
But it didn't drop me.
Right.
So the second round was, I give it to him too, but it was a lot closer than people think. Third round, I clearly did more damage. So I think the first and third round, if you really just look at it, turn the commentary off just watch that fight and you say, okay, I'm just going to judge this off damage, I think a lot of people would rewatch that. I mean, and come to that conclusion. But
what's number two? What's number two?
It's a good question. I mean, like, there's not an opinion. It's an actual criteria. But in my opinion, I don't. I just do damage. That's all I do. I knock.
You don't know what number two is? Because
I don't.
I was just talking to my girlfriend Kelly about this. We're like, what are the things? And I said the same thing. I'm like, I'm not exactly sure.
Damage.
I was just gonna say, I think the debate was worthwhile. Like the idea that the conversation existed wasn't, that didn't upset me at all, because people were chirping about it for like 2-3 days afterwards.
Yeah.
He had obviously had ground control the majority of the fight. But did not take advantage of it. He didn't do anything with it.
He couldn't take advantage of it. Well, I was throwing up triangles. Not they weren't very close, but he was having to defend triangles, omoplatas, arm bars. He was having to defend. That's the reason he wasn't being able to attack. He would defend. I would get up. There was no real damage. He hit me maybe 3 or 4 times on the ground.
Can we talk about the Granby, bro?
You love that.
Bro, I've been talking to you about it for 3 days. Every the time I see
front
you.
Flip. Mike's been threatening to hit me.
It's all I care Granby. About. You did a front flip out of a fucking hold, which I had never seen before.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tim told me, he was, I think, even quite surprised that you were able to pull that off. What
wrestling,
happened?
Baby. Wrestling.
Yeah, so
switch into a Granby. That was fire.
A front flip.
That's a move.
Did you and Tim focus on groundwork, or did you already have that in your arsenal that we didn't know about?
I've been training overall 12 years. In the last probably 5-6 years, I've been dedicating my life to jiu-jitsu, to grappling. I hit mitts in camp. When I have a fight coming up, we'll hit mitts. I don't really hit mitts outside of camp. I don't really...
No way.
Yeah.
I thought that was his strong suit.
So you're going to be ready.
I'm the best in the world. I'm the best striker in the world. I've been saying that since the Contender Series, when I wasn't really, but now... Petr Yan is a master of boxing. Everybody in the UFC, there's videos you can go out, like look up, like who's the best boxing in the UFC, like Dustin Poirier, guys like high level guys will say, oh, Petr Yan's the best. Dude, I made him wrestle. He took like 15 shots against me because I was piecing him up. So I'm the best boxer in the UFC.
Life is so weird. I said it when Jake was on here, but the fact that we watched him go from like I love him, but corny internet kid, Disney kid, to what it is, he's now a boxer, is insane. And the fact that I think about this all the time, Sean, that you started fighting to quote unquote pick up chicks.
Get chicks, baby.
And you're on your way to become the best fighter. You are the best fighter in the world. You just have to get that belt.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I saw the picture of you and Tim that you posted,
mm-hmm.
I think today
or
yesterday. And I commented on it because you and Tim, who's your coach and best friend?
Yeah, I mean, we have the weirdest coach relationship, coach student relationship.
Coach?
Yeah, he's the head coach. Technically, I mean,
well,
when
you guys
it comes
have been
to
friends since high school,
since I mean, I was 18, he was probably 22, 23 when we met. Yeah,
what's his training over you?
Dad, if you're gonna ask a question, I need you to
what, what's his training over you that he, qualifies him as a coach for
he's
you?
He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's had probably 20 some professional fights. So, I think the best coaches are the guys that have done it. He's been there, he's cut weight.
You
he's
think so? Because growing up, you told me that sometimes the best coaches aren't involved in the sport. Vince Lombardi is an example of it. He wasn't a football player, but is known
there's
as
expectations
the greatest football coach
for
of all
sure.
Time.
So when I use you as an example, because Logan was a great athlete, he picked up a pull stick literally first time playing. He cleared the table.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at everything, but he doesn't know how to translate it to tell somebody like me who's a mediocre athlete.
Shit, coach.
Same.
How to be good. He's like, what? You don't get this? And I'm like, no. You know.
Kind of a bully about it.
Well, Georgie, when you talk, I need you to get the mic.
Like this, you're a fucking bully.
I want the other Logan back.
You know, the other one was nicer.
Way nicer.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say you've probably gotten the chicks now that you were hoping for. So if that is
too
no
many.
Longer the goal,
yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What is the reason that you go through all of this and put your body through the kind of trauma it was just recently 7 days ago through? And what's the payoff?
It's a good question. I think just realizing my potential now at this point, I'm like, I can become the Anderson Silva. Like I can be looked at as one of the greatest fighters of all time. And that's definitely what still drives me. And I just turned 28. So I feel like I got a solid like 10 years. Thank you. Like 10 years.
Right. Honestly, we all like admire Anderson Silva, but you actually do what he's done. Did it hurt a little bit to watch him lose?
To be honest, I was like, when he dropped him, I was like, oh shit, it just felt weird. I was like, oh fuck, that's Anderson. But I love, obviously Anderson I fucking love Jake, and I was pumped for him. But yeah, watching Anderson, I mean, it was fucking sweet. Jake looked impressive. Anderson looked good too. For 47, Like, I don't think that's really an excuse.
Stamina.
Like, Jake looked good. Yeah, I mean, he had good stamina.
I don't know, bro. I think Jake said it best. Anderson defies physics because his age, I know, like, age is just a number, but no, it's fucking not, bro. When I was fighting Floyd, I could feel that he was 44. Mm. And by the end, I could see, I was like, you're tired, old man. You got gray hair and you're fucking wheezy. Yeah. Anderson was a dog throughout.
His punches, bro, what do you mean? His punches obviously were a little bit slower. Than
not a little bit. Sped back up. He was pissed.
But I mean, comparatively, like if you took the combined average of the 8 rounds, he's probably a little bit slower now than he was at 36, right?
10 years ago, that Anderson Silva in the 8th round that was doing all this shit would have knocked Jake out. We'd have been like, oh, where did that shot even come from? Yeah. The fact that he got caught doing the thing that he does best, that's 47.
But also, that was why and how he got knocked out in the UFC, even in his prime. True.
Which is why he shouldn't be fighting in the UFC anymore either.
He was doing his showboating shit.
He also does a lot of weird shit, too. Like, I was talking to him in that interview after the fight when you saw me in the hallway. Why did he was like, he like does this like weird sorcery. Like, he punches his foot. Like, why does he punch his foot?
Oh, he taps him.
It's a diversion.
Is that a diversion? I mean, Sean,
I'm a master of that.
I know.
Sean dribbles. I pretended to throw something in the air and fucking hit a 1-2
homie,
on Peter.
You play basketball in the octagon.
Yeah.
You're the first person I've ever seen do that. You dribble, you shoot,
when you win.
A little diversion.
Yeah, also, just to tie in the Anderson's part. Dude, 47, and the dude finished a fight and jumped on a plane to go to a tournament. And another country for jiu-jitsu. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's at a jiu-jitsu tournament.
What the fuck?
It's an addiction.
So my question for you is, as the elite athlete that you are, your two top things that you think have elevated you to where you are, what would they be if you want to share them with anybody else who wants to be a fighter?
Sleep and diet.
Okay, so here's the
top
thing.
Top two.
So I'm nowhere near you, but here's what I love about you. No, your calmness in the storm. You were literally getting fucking pounded in this last fight. And you were still calm.
Yeah.
And I think that is what's going to take you to the top level. Because, dude, I'm like, you're getting fucking jacked. And you're still like.
It's chilling.
What you're describing, what you're describing is a comfortability. And Jake even said this in a couple of his interviews. And we saw it last night. He's finally in his sixth fight now, getting comfortable in the ring. And so is this struck me as incredible. Ashton Silv, is that his name? The kid Jake signed. Yeah. How do you pronounce his name? Ashton Silv.
Is that the minion guy?
He came out dressed as a minion. Yeah, it's a Halloween costume. So he's got the showmanship. I liked it, but I was watching this kid. He signed to Jake's Most Valuable Promotions. He was fighting right before Jake, and he looked so calm. It was unbelievable. The guy starts teeing off on him. It's calm, calm, calm. Block, slip, throws the cleanest counter I've ever seen in my life. So drops him, wins the fight in like a minute and a half.
So fast.
Comfortability, Dad, as you said.
The word's composure that you're looking for. It's what are you going to do when the heat is on?
I've been also cold plunging for like 5 years religiously every night.
Cold plunging?
Cold plunging.
Oh, cold plunging.
Yeah. Well, you have?
Like religiously every night for 5 years. 3 minutes at night, and it's... That's where you practice that uncomfortable anywhere from 39 to 43.
That's cold.
It's every night. Danny's right there. Maybe not. She's
that's David. Oh,
yeah. She watches it. She does it with me sometimes, but like that's where I get that calmness in those panicky moments. Just be able to sit in the cold plunge, get to your breath, and just sit with it.
It is a good spot to gain that composure. I in my minimal fighting experience, that cold plunge is a game changer.
Yep.
I want to ask you some questions, Ma.
Okay.
I'm not sure what exactly, but like, has it gotten easier to be a mom of a fighter the more fights that happen? Are you getting more and more used to it? Because your nerves, in my opinion, seem to be more calm as we do more of this bullshit.
I think I'm more calm until I see what is going wrong. And then I get like, you got to change that. And I want to tell him, and like you locked eyes with him about the breathing. I used to do the same thing with both of you in the wrestling mat. And I did the same thing with him last night. I thought he kind of looked over at me and I was kind of like, breathe. I didn't look real calm, but to answer your question you know, specifically, I am getting better at it, but it is still really, really difficult. Not seeing Jake get hit or you get hit necessarily, because, you know, you guys picked this profession, so you're ready for it. And you know you're going to get hit, and Jake's had some big sparring partners, and he's gotten hit. But it's that, what are you going to do wrong that might make you really get knocked out? And that has not happened yet. So I think I've been pretty fortunate.
Did Jake say anything about who's next? I know I saw the Nate Diaz, a little bit of beef. You guys probably talked about it, but
we asked him. He wants to maintain his leverage over the person, so he's being secretive about it. And he has some ideas, but it's like the lady in the press conference said it yesterday. It's the Jake Paul lottery. Like, he is in a position where he can kind of just be like, which one of you is going to make me and us the most money? I may decide, motherfucker, you're dead.
God, that's tough to decide too, because he is making them a lot of money. So if you have like a real beef, it's like, God,
you're gonna change someone's life.
You're
gonna make someone rich as hell.
The old red panty night.
Yep, the red panty night. Called it. Break out the red panties. Yep. Playing Conor McGregor.
Yep.
I wanted to ask him too. I didn't even get a chance to, because he had to run to that pool party. But I guess it like comes down to like what he's after, right? Like, he can keep, and Raheem, you poked him about this a bunch of times. He can keep taking the UFC fights against these big names, because it seems like at this point and in this moment, at least, Sugar, you're one of them, the UFC fighters have the clout. You guys got the pull. You guys got the attention, right, for the most part, except for the big dogs in the boxing realm, which they're not going to fight Jake right now, right? So he can keep taking those fights for big paydays, right, and for big turnouts and big pay-per-view buys, or he can go the route you described, which is garner the credibility in the space, because from what we've heard from Jake, he wants a belt. He literally wants a fucking belt. And so you had brought up the point that, like, who gives a fuck? Like, keep taking the fights, which he can, against these big payday fighters, right, from the UFC. It all comes down to what Jake wants. And it's exactly what you just said. It's the Jake lottery. The dude's the pole right now. He's the A side. You know?
If you could pick who? I'd pick Nate.
Nate fucking Diaz.
Jake will knock the piss out of Nate Diaz.
Yeah, I was going to say, but isn't that
he will knock the piss out of Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is a punk. He's a punk. His record is mediocre. Jake will knock the piss out of Diaz.
You get fired up.
I'm just calling the fucking back.
But can I ask a question? Is Nate a step down from Silva?
No.
I'd say pretty equal.
Because Nate's like, we could sit here and talk shit the whole time. Nate's a motherfucking dog.
Not
I don't give a fuck. His record is not that great. Jake will knock the piss out of him.
Hold on. I don't disagree. But you don't gotta get so aggressive.
No, I like that, dude. He's
ferocious. No, we're Pauls. We get fucking aggressive. Get over
aggressive.
It.
I've been on the receiving end of it a lot of times.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, speaking of boxing, I'd fucking love to box one of these days.
No way, Sean.
You already do,
dude.
Best boxer.
No way,
UFC.
Sean.
Bro. But you can't in the UFC contract.
Bro. Well, unless I get big enough, you know, Conor versus Floyd happened. I'm waiting for another guy my size. Gervonta Davis, I know I kind of talked about it before. He's not really a pay-per-view guy. Maybe he will be someday. But, like, realistically, he's not like that.
Dude.
Hey, can we pre-sign you to MVP?
Hey, wait. I'd hate it. But you versus Ryan Garcia.
That's what I'm saying. But Ryan, we gotta keep doing our thing. Keep winning and become big enough to where the UFC. Because UFC, they're about money. So if the opportunity 5-6 years down the line, I'm the fucking man. There's another fucking man in boxing. UFC would be down. They would be down. But has to be big enough.
Let's talk two, three years.
It has to be like you being a UFC fighter and an excellent one does not translate to you being a boxer in a boxing ring. Ryan Garcia is not beating you in the octagon. I'm sorry. You're not beating Ryan Garcia in a boxing ring.
I wasn't going to beat Peter Yan either. I wasn't supposed to.
He's doing it. He does this.
I'm with you. I'm agreeing.
You're unbroken, right? I listen to you. Yeah, okay.
I'm agreeing with you on that.
I'm not. Everyone can have their opinion. You guys could say that. It's not going to change the fact that I want to do it.
I totally agree.
Do you want me to sit here and say, okay, I won't? Or what's your point of saying that?
My point is that this is like, it's more of a spectacle than it is an actual.
So you think there's a 0% chance I could beat him?
Yeah, I think
0%. Raheem.
You're a winky fucker.
Are you
going to
take that disrespect, bro? I don't feel like it's disrespectful.
Zero chance.
But he also is making
zero chance.
In the octagon, Ryan Garcia has zero chance of beating you.
Like zero.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's accurate.
Hold on a second. If you put the two in the octagon and they get into a striking match with light gloves on, there's never a zero chance. The one thing about fighting that we all know is
that I understand
what you're saying.
Well, not striking. No, say boxing.
But
that's striking.
What I'm getting at is there's a button that exists on everyone's chin. There is the 0% chance in fighting does not exist. You would say the same thing about me versus Logan in a ring. Of course.
We had this conversation.
There's never a 0% chance. The right shot to the right part of a human's body puts a person out.
There's so a 0% it's never happened. Exist.
Excuse me.
Got it.
I had it's not a question, more of a conversation. I'd like you to react.
Yes, sir.
So we were talking in the car because, like, I don't know why, but a lot of people want to fight you.
I get it, dude. I'm a fucking
really
a lot? I'm loudmouth.
Yeah,
bro.
Well, mostly just people in our circle.
Oh, that makes sense.
Wait, who though? Right now?
Well, my girlfriend Nina thinks she could take you out. And I actually agree with her.
Oh, yeah. She told me that.
I've wanted to fight you before.
Me and you are. Me and GP.
GP wants
Rockies,
to fight you right now.
But also, no. Well,
hold on a minute. Hold on. I never. Wait. Stop. I never wanted to fight you. You put your hands on me first.
Start it up. This is where it starts.
Well, no. Yeah. The good thing. I will say this. The good thing about me and GP is that we're like those type of people that can have that ferocious like interaction, and then 2 weeks later we see each other and it just ends again. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Let me tell you something. You have to, because you're both gonna be around like forever.
No. But I just figure it out. Yeah. It's like a brother. It's like a brotherhood. Like you get in a fight with your brother, and then it kind of just ends because you both.
GP about fucked me up one day.
He's still GP tripping. Wants to fight everyone one day. Bro.
It was after one of Jake's fight, and I was gonna go say what's like good job in the locker room, and I walk in. He's like, "Who the fuck are you? Get the
serious?
Fuck out!" Oh, no,
he did it to Chappelle.
No. So
you did. You did it to. Fucking Dave Chappelle.
No, hold on. No, when you came in, you were coming in, but you had like eight people following.
I never have
you.
Eight people. I roll light. I don't roll with nobody.
I know, but there were people behind
you. Must have been a different guy with cotton candy hair.
And I'm like, all right, I know who you are, but fuck these other motherfuckers.
And then when
Chappelle was coming.
Explain Chappelle. Why did you deny Dave Chappelle?
No, I knew who Chappelle was.
When I'm talking, you talk. By the way, guys, if we don't have headphones on, we got to be extra cognizant of when someone else is talking, and if you don't have the stick.
And this is what I was going at before, and I apologize for my deviant, but I lock into a system. This is my science, bro. I love it here.
By the way, you're right. This is much harder
than
I expect.
I'm sorry
because
the audience
I have to work with.
I love you guys. You do a great job, but I'm sorry. I take this shit fucking, this is my job, bro. So I need to lock in, bro. I'm sorry, brother.
Guys are pussies. I have to just
it's like
the fuck is actually overwhelmed by
you know
this?
Why I can disprove that right now? Because you have blue tint on your sunglasses. And everyone knows that if you have blue tint on your sunglasses, you're a fucking whack job who lives in Utah. Give me those. Are those the colorblind glasses?
Those are your good glasses.
Huh?
Wow, that fully circled. You just called yourself a pussy, that's bro.
What do you mean, these are my? I don't own these.
Those are yours. Those are the same glasses that you put on and you cried because you saw green for the first time.
These are not my glasses. You just gave them to me off your face that you brought here. What do you mean?
I took those when I shot the video making fun of you looking at colors for the first time. Those are actually your glasses.
From 7 years ago?
Yeah, still is your buddy's.
Brother, I was a whack job who lived in Utah back then. Right. Hold on. These are the colorblind glasses? Yeah. Caleb, zoom
in. You better fucking cry.
Y'all need to cut this shit. I'm not kidding. Y'all need to cut the shit, bro, because Sugar Sean is looking way more purple than usual. I'm not fucking kidding. It's not funny. Life is so much. It's a little
George
bit more.
Stole those? Did we forget about that?
As yeah. A prop.
You stole them?
No. You want me to sign these so you can sell them on eBay?
What? Me?
Dude, I'm not. All right. So beautiful.
That's crazy.
You know, Mr. Beast just did a video. He found 2,000 colorblind people and made them all wear these glasses at once. That's like one of his videos. I'm sorry, Mr. Beast.
That's brilliant.
That's good, right? But I'm not kidding, bro. You look so much more vivid than usual.
That's what I look like.
Your hair is beautiful.
I will admit something, and Bell can vouch. I didn't know I was slightly colorblind until I put those on. Because I put them on, I'm like, what the fuck? Why is green like that? And she goes, no, you're joking. I go, I swear to God.
Did you cry?
Not in crying.
That's tripping me out watching Logan get tripped
I'm
out.
Looking at your wife's like neon pink shorts, and those are going crazy.
Yeah. Bro, that's his wife. Relax.
The greens, the blues in the sky. Like, it, jokes aside. And by the way, I didn't, that video wasn't fake. It was very much embellished.
It's like YouTube. It's YouTube shit. Wait, were you going to finish the point about the fact that your girlfriend wants to kill me?
Not kill you.
Oh, she just wants to fight.
For sport.
Oddly enough, bro, a couple of the people that have called me out in the space in the past, iDubbbz, I was with him in the second row, and Jeff was trying to stoke that fire. Jeff Wittick, who didn't get a chance to say anything on the couch earlier because with so many damn people. But he was like, yo, what's the deal, Mike? You going to step in the ring with iDubbbz? And iDubbbz was like looking at me like, yo, what's good? You know, just got fucked up, bro. I'm handicapped.
You got a rod in your ankle. You can't walk more than half a mile without crying.
But I am having fusion surgery this year, I believe. In 2023, they're going to remove my ankle joint, and they're going to fuse my leg to my foot. So it'll be a right angle, like one of those right angle rulers.
Dude, why don't you just make it a peg? You're almost a pirate.
That's what
when
I'm
you do
saying.
That.
They want, the
they
damn
want me
thing
to amputate
off, bro,
it. Become Danny wants me to amputate it and put on just a fake leg, ankle. But I believe that
you'd
once I have
be a pretty good
that,
pirate.
What'd you say?
You'd be a pretty good pirate.
Oh, you mean a wooden peg?
Yeah, just like, put a wooden peg in there, bro.
He thought you were talking about because he gets pegged. So he thought you were talking about.
I thought you called him a pirate because he steals
what
a clout from everybody.
But
by the way, I just want everybody to know, Mike sent my mom and dad the nicest fucking video because my mom and dad cooked for everybody. And he is actually the sweetest gentleman. You know what Logan gave me? A high five on the way out.
Well, hold on.
Nice of him.
Besides Mike and I, I'm the only one who knows this. His assistant sent the video.
I made a video. My assistant's a deep fake. Is that what you're saying? She was able to put her head on my body.
That was a shit joke.
I know. Dude, pause. Does that hurt when that happens?
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
Bro, you're a non-colorblind guy wearing colorblind glasses, bro. Go back to Utah.
Wait, so we...
Jordan, they're going to pick on you all the time anyway.
You know what, Dad? Come sub in for me. You probably say better things.
Yo, let's get senior George in here. Let's replace George with George.
What are
you
doing
here? You've gone on this podcast before. No, please. I want to ask about the dinner. Please.
George left.
Please, Big George. What do you mean?
Last pod, too.
Yeah, no. You came on and wore a wig before.
Well, he has been on this pod for 3 hours today. That's why.
Waiting for him what? Waiting for him to leave? We've all been waiting for him to leave. George. I know. Come on. No one's even going to notice a difference. Come on.
No, it's not.
Look, he put the same. Let's go,
George Senior.
Where the story starts.
Let's go.
Can
sit
I
down, George?
Sit down. Right. Or are we going straight? Right. I just want to ask one more question to Shug.
This is. Do they know about Georgie's dad?
No, hold on one sec. Mike's.
I just wanted to ask one more Shug question. Do we? So we know what's next for you, obviously, right? Like that's already set in stone. Like there's no questions around.
The UFC's talking about Henry versus Aljo. I don't know if that's real. I'm actually gonna go to the UFC here in a couple weeks and sit down and talk to him and see what's up. But I mean, the title fight next makes the most sense. It's for me like 100%. Dude, imagine if it's in Phoenix in that arena that we were just fighting. Jake just fought at. God, I was sitting there last night thinking like,
"There's some good
this
vibes
would
there.
Be crazy, yeah. Bro. Yeah,
catered by Stoop Kid Burgers.
Dude, I was actually going to stop there before I go to the airport if I had time.
Mike
today.
Said he gave out a 9-1 and I wasn't there. Yeah. You guys tasted
the
burger?
Dude, it was good. I didn't eat for like 12 hours. I waited for it. Yeah. So I don't know if that enhanced my ranking, but it was fucking
He told
there.
Me... That well, when he's in training camp, he watches the burger reviews and it fucks with it. He makes him want to break his.
I do watch it, and I'm just like, God damn! You squeeze it, and it's juicy.
Some people when they're dieting, they'll watch food porn.
I don't watch it a ton, but I definitely catch myself like I'll watch that and just sit there and just like.
Well, on Mike's channel, you get both food and porn.
I know, I love that. He's got some patties on there.
Hey, can you give the mic to George Senior real quick? This is my thank you. I gave your son a high five, but I gave you a big old fat hug. And yes, I said, thanks for you cooked dinner for all of us the other night. You and your wife, Carol, beautiful family. I love coming to your guys' house. We were all so, so grateful that we have such a second family, essentially.
You got it.
You guys are so great. What's your, did we make it to the moon, do you think?
Whoa.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Do you believe we actually...
Yeah, bring the mic to your mouth. Like, I just curious, like, just something I wanted to know. Like,
say it again.
Do you think we made it to the moon?
Like, yes.
Yeah? That's all I wanted to know.
You are.
Well, we didn't go to the fucking moon. He's not a conspiracist. He's Persian that sells cologne at the mall. This is where actually he stores his cologne. He gives it to me.
What's in there? Hey, what's in there? Do I know what's in there, huh?
No.
I know what's
he goes to protect him.
To protect George.
I'm his bodyguard when he leaves.
I don't know if I have anything else. This has been a great show. Is there anything I tried
to... We do have to give a shout out to your mom because I covered you guys in Manchester.
Yeah.
And she was everybody's mom. Oh. And you were like, you know, this calm and this kind of thing that you're talking about that's important in the ring, she has it outside the ring. That's how I knew you and your brother and everybody's going to be okay. Because every place I saw your mom, she was making sure everybody was going to be okay.
I mean, you're looking at the collaboration of the two people that created, I mean, we'll use Jake as example, Jake, you know, and Logan, but like you've got this calm, composed side that that remains ready and sticking to the game plan. And you've got a you know, someone that has that extreme heart and just fire that exists within them. And when you put those two people together into the same body, you get Jake and you get Logan Paul, you know? So it's always, you know, amazing to sit across from these two people who I dearly love.
Thanks for being my parents, guys. And thanks for being great parents.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being great kids.
Yeah.
I love you guys. Yeah. That's it. Sean, thanks for joining us on this podcast, brother.
Thank you guys for having me on.
I can't wait to see what you do next. Follow Sean on social media, all the social medias. George Sr., what were you going to say?
They raised you right, man.
They did a good job.
I'm very proud of them.
And Radio Raheem, I appreciate you, bro. Finally got you on.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Of course.
It was an honor, and I had a great time.
Good,
you guys
bro.
Are very generous for letting me.
We got to have you sit in more, bro.
Thanks for being a fellow button pusher, bro.
Oh, my God. It's like so good. That, it's so
because I bet you there's a lot of people that want to fight you, too, right?
Oh, my God. There's fighters that want to fight
That's
me.
That's what I'm saying.
But you know what? I know how to.
Yeah. Let's go.
Neutralize. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We love you. Hit that subscribe button. We will see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.